The New Testament is a wonderful document, and when you think about what Jesus taught and how he taught, one of the favorite ways for Jesus' teaching was through parables. And the parables, we generally define parables as earthly stories with kind of a heavenly meaning. And so in a very simple way, Jesus would take some of the experiences of common life and he would apply that to the walk of his disciples and for you and I this morning. Many of the parables are parables of grace. They draw our attention to the amazing forgiveness that we have in Christ. There are parables that have the theme of judgment. And then there are parables that are parables of the kingdom. And we're sometimes a little confused about that idea of the kingdom. But the idea is of the kingdom that if the kingdom has a king, that is, we acknowledge Jesus as Savior and as Lord, as King. And so around the world, we see the church develop, but the church is the servant of the kingdom, of the rule of Jesus Christ within the world. And someday the church will pass away. We will have no need for the church. But the kingdom of God, the rule of Christ, will be for eternity. And there will be a day when all the world will be united by the praises of one name, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. Not Caesar, not Barack Obama, not John Cameron, but Jesus Christ. So we're going to read together from Matthew chapter 13, a very simple parable this morning. And the theme for the message is treasures, pearls, and the kingdom of God. Matthew 13, beginning with verse 44. Jesus said, and this is his teaching, "The kingdom of heaven," or the kingdom of God, "the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. And when a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and he sold all that he had and he bought that field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and he bought it." And then verse 53, "When Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there. And coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers?" they asked. "Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? Aren't all his sisters also with us? Where then did this man get all of these things?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "Only in his hometown and in his home house is a prophet without honor. He did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Treasures, pearls, and the kingdom of God. There's something about treasures, I think, that kind of captivate our imagination. Not so very long ago, I think it was even in the city of Hamilton. Not quite sure about that, but the radio and the Hamilton Spectator carried the story of a young man who had entered into a thrift store. And he had seen what looked to him a rather attractive watch. He bought that watch for $5, and then he went home and he punched in on his computer, Googled the name that was on that watch. I don't think it was a Rolex, but it was a very expensive watch. And it turned out that that watch was worth $37,000. And we may chuckle about that. We may say, wow, that was a lucky find. I hope he was generous with the thrift store. But all of us have kind of an imagination around finding treasures, earning treasures. And Jesus takes this common theme of you and I and our desire to want to find something that was hidden. Jesus takes all of that and he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who found a treasure. That's so much so that Robert Louis Stevenson, and some of you have probably read his classic book, Treasure Island, takes that whole theme of finding a treasure and he makes it into a children's classic. It's a common theme that we share together. I remember growing up as a young boy on a farm just outside of Hamilton in Stony Creek. And I remember we had a creek running through our farm, and there was especially one place just on the corner of the hollow on the creek that I suspected there had to be a buried treasure there. And that someday we would find that treasure, and we would make our millions on that treasure, and we would pay for the church. We'd buy my mother a new dress and my father a new car. And we had all kinds of good ideas that we would have with finding a treasure. Jesus says to us this morning, that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. And when a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went out and he sold all that he had in he bought the field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls, and when he found one of great value, he went away and he sold everything and he bought it. A simple story. And I suspect this morning it's only a preacher who would take a 20-second sermon that Jesus preached and turn it into 20 minutes. But there is a truth in this parable that's profound. And this morning, I want to speak with you and have you join with me in thinking about what Jesus is obviously teaching here, the great value of our salvation, the immeasurable value of what we possess when we are invited into a relationship with Jesus Christ. I have seen that all over the world. People dedicate their life to gaining treasure, but the greatest treasure we have is the one that's given to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And in order to do that this morning, we want to look at this parable that Jesus told, and there are four words that I want for a moment to pause with you around. And Jesus refers to them in this story that he tells, this parable of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who found a treasure. The first word that I want to think with you for a moment about is the word that Jesus uses early on in this story. The treasure, he says, was hidden in a field. It's the same word that Jesus uses in Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, when Jesus speaks about the fact that when he came into the cities of Tyre and Chorazin, that there was within these cities a stubborn unrepentance. And when Jesus stood among even those from his hometown in Galilee and Nazareth, we read in Matthew chapter 13 that there was a resistance to the claims of Christ. And in Matthew chapter 11, when Jesus speaks to us about these cities, he said it would be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for the cities of Tyre and Sidon. Jesus is drawing a comparison. He's saying even when I stood among you, when I proclaimed the claims of the gospel message, you remained unrepentant and you remained stubborn. He said it would be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for you. And then Jesus says, I thank you that you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, and you've revealed them to children. I thank you, Jesus said, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, and you've revealed them unto children. It's the same word that Jesus uses here in our parable about the man that finds within the field the treasure that was hidden. And the emphasis here is not on deceptive hiding. When this man, we are told, finds this treasure, he digs it up, he looks at it, he recognizes its value, and then he places it back into the earth and he devises a plan to possess it. And we might stumble for a moment this morning. Was this man being deceptive? Are we somewhat offended by this man who found this treasure and didn't disclose it, but worked kind of in a roundabout way in order to achieve it? But the emphasis, you see, that Jesus is putting on is not on deceptive hiding. It's not like Scrooge looking at all of his money and his values, and he's looking at that money piled up on his table, and he puts his arm around it and he said, this is mine. You see, the emphasis of our passage is not on deception. It's on the hiddenness of the gospel message. Because at the very heart, you see, what becomes offensive about the gospel for many is that the gospel comes into our life and it turns our lives upside down. The kingdom of God, you see, enters our lives with another power. It's not the power of strength or of might or of armies, but it's the might of learning the kingdom rule, that one lives by dying. We live, you see, by dying. We receive by giving. And it flies, you see, in the face of everything that we know within our world, whether it's the world of economics or of banking or of politics, where power is understood as strength. And that's why Jesus said, I thank you that you've hidden these things from the wise and the learned, and you've revealed them to little children. You see, unless we are prepared this morning to become like a child, we cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The treasure, you see, that was hidden was not hidden out of deception. It was hidden because it's so difficult to understand. In the world in which we live, the second word that Jesus surfaces in his short 20-second sermon is the word field. The kingdom of God is like a man who found a treasure hidden in the field. And you know from Matthew chapter 13 that field, whether it was the parable of the sower, the kingdom of God is like a man who went out to sow and he threw his seed all over the field. It's the same word that's used in Matthew 13 earlier. But it refers to, it is understood as the world. The treasure is hidden in the world. We have to stop there for a moment. You see, for this particular man to possess the treasure, he couldn't just say, I'm going to buy this square yard of land in which this treasure was rehidden. He had to buy the whole farm. He had to enter into the world. He had to buy the whole field. That field that included a rundown barn, a broken manure spreader, poison ivy. And all of the things that resist the growth that we see so much around us, including dandelions at this time of year. You see, he had to invest in the world. And sometimes when you look at the church today, you say, you know, the church has withdrawn itself from the places where people live. This past week, I was absolutely stunned when Omar Khadr was released from prison in Bowdoin prison in Alberta, just north south of Edmonton. And then we saw him being interviewed by CBC, and then the truth came out about what happened over the last several years in Bowdoin. Eight professors, most of them from King's College, connected to the Christian Reformed Church in Edmonton, Alberta, committed, each of them, a couple of hours a week to tutor Omar Khadr in prison in order that when he was released, as he has been now, he would move beyond grade 8, where he was when he was a 15-year-old soldier, terrorist soldier. You see, the places where we work are filled with ambiguity, and they are filled with questions like, can you work with a tourist? Can you love a Mormon? Can you be a neighbor to a Muslim? You see, Jesus is saying the kingdom of God, the man that found this treasure was a man who understood that he had to buy the whole field. He had to invest in it. And the church, you see, invests in Calcutta with a Mother Teresa. The church invests in Nepal and the terrible devastation that we see happening there right now with the earthquake. It invests in Ebola, in Nigeria, in Liberia. It invests in Christian education in Central America or in Africa, all over the world, wherever there is brokenness in humanity, the church is called to represent the treasure that we possess. And I've had the privilege on a number of occasions to see that treasure in Kibera, Kenya, the largest slum in the world. And there in that great slum were the pockets of light, which was the Christian church, and pastors who labored with very little remuneration. One of whom said to me, in 10 years, this place is going to be changed. The kingdom of God is like a man who found a treasure hidden in the field. And the third word that Jesus draws our attention to for a few moments is he solves everything. That's what Jesus said this man did. To possess the treasure, he went home and he took all of his possessions and his work, his car, no, they didn't have cars, horse, camel, sold it and said, I'm buying that field. He's going to invest in that field. It would demand everything. Jesus tells two stories here. The treasure that was hidden and the pearl. The treasure that was hidden, the man really didn't do much to find it. He stumbled on it. But in the parable of the pearl, you have the idea that this man had an eye for value. And he saw that pearl of great price, and he said, I'm going to buy that. I'm going to invest everything in it. We know today, Bethel knows, that the place in which you live as a church is a place longing to find meaning. When you have coffee with your neighbor, or you go golfing with a friend or a business partner, and you have some of these intimate conversations, you know that there's not a person. If you ever find that person, let me know. There is not a person in the world who's not looking for meaning, and we have, you see, the answer. We say that to one another because we know it to be true, that my only comfort is that I belong to a faithful Savior. We know that we have the deepest meaning in our to our lives. People are looking for meaning, and when they find that pearl of great price, when they find the kingdom of God that one lives by dying, one receives by giving, when one understands that truth, there is a freedom that is given. What strikes me, I think, very often as I think about this with you this morning is that we often sell the gospel short. You know, the price is high. The price is high. It means giving, handing over everything you represent. Because Jesus is Lord of every square inch of our lives. The price is high, and it means that we have to sell everything. We have to be prepared to give it up. We should not apologize for the high price. Because the product, you see, is worth it. The kingdom of God is like a man who found a treasure hidden in the field. He went and he sold everything. The fourth word is the word to buy. To buy. When you buy something, you possess it. You own it. It's yours. And Jesus said, that's what this man did. He went and he gave, sold everything in order to buy that treasure so he would possess it. All of us know ourselves, but we know others too who've lived for all kinds of things. Money, wealth, prestige, relationships. I was having a conversation not so very long ago with someone who said, you know, he said, I gave my whole life to my business. And then coming now into ill health, he said, that was for me a wake-up call to get my house in order. And I went fishing with him because he's a member of the Alpha group that we're leading at Mountain View. And he said, you know, the doctor told me to get my house in order. And I know that this is something I have to do. You see, he sold everything. And for the joy, the Bible says, Jesus says, for the joy of possessing it, he bought it. The joy, you see, is not the joy of being able to travel around the world. The joy, you see, is that as we share this message of Jesus Christ, we are going to find people that are deeply satisfied by the answer that Jesus is for your life and for my life. We are going to find people that are deeply satisfied because the gospel message, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the treasure that is Jesus, brings to us immeasurable value. And that's why the poem, The Touch of the Master's Hand, a piece of anonymous verse, speaks to our lives this morning. It was battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to spend much time on the old violin, and he held it up with a smile. What am I bid, good folks, he cried. Who'll start the bidding for me? A dollar once, a dollar twice, a dollar and almost gone. But from the back, a man came forward, picked up the bow, and played a melody pure and sweet as only the caroling angels sing. And then with a voice that was quiet and low, the auctioneer said, what am I bid for the old violin? 1,000, who'll make it 2, 2, and who'll make it 3? And there's many a man with life out of tune and battered and scarred by sin who is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd. Much like the old violin, a mess of pot, a glass of wine, he travels on. He's going and almost gone, but the master comes. Because of the touch of the master's hand. May God today give to you that deep sense of the treasure that is ours. And may you dedicate your life today to its service. And God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the message of this simple parable. Help us to invest with all that we have been given in that gospel message. For Jesus' sake, amen.